From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Every day, thousands of freight trains haul grain, coal, and cargo around the country. And to stop those long, heavy trains, engineers rely on brake technology that hasn't changed much since the 1870s. Now, the federal government wants freight trains to use a new kind of brake, which could improve safety. Our report from NPR's Nell Boyce begins at a train museum in Baltimore, Maryland.
My name is Harry Eck. I'm a volunteer here at the B&O Railroad Museum.
Harry Eck worked as a railroad man for over 40 years. If you want to know about the obscure history of train brakes, he can fill you in.
This is an iron boxcar, predates the Civil War, and notice we'll see a wheel up on top of the car.
Eck says that wheel is a handbrake. To stop a train in the old days, a brakeman had to jump from car to car and wrestle with that wheel.
He rode out there all the time, 4th of July or Christmas Day, 90 degrees in the shade or a blizzard.
It sounds like an incredibly dangerous job.
Yes, it certainly was.
But no one could think of a better way until about 1870.
A young man whose name is still a household word to us, George Westinghouse, came up with the first air brake. And then a few years later, he came up with another one, the principle of which is still in use today.
Here's how an air brake works. All freight trains have a long metal pipe that runs down the length of the train. The pipe is filled with compressed air. When an engineer wants to stop or slow down, he releases some air. That pressure drop activates pneumatic brakes on each car. Brakes controlled by air are so reliable, they've been around for over a century. But there's a big problem. All of the cars don't stop at once.
What happens is when they apply the brakes, they apply them from the front.
That's train brake expert Bill Castling.
The signal travels at the speed of sound throughout the whole train and applies brakes sequentially on every car.
So the car in the front hits the brakes first. Then the rest of the cars start braking in a wave, like falling dominoes. In a freight train that's a mile long, Castling says it can take 15 seconds or more for cars at the back of the train to get the signal.
And this can create some very tricky conditions, and you can actually pull a train apart, have a failure, have a derailment.
Castling is head of Wabtec, the air brake company founded by George Westinghouse. He says even Westinghouse dreamed of better brakes, ones controlled not by air, but by electricity.
If, in fact, we could put an electrical wire through the train and apply the brake, all of the brakes would apply simultaneously. And if you have instant braking, you get rid of all of those in-train forces that can create unsafe conditions.
Over the last decade, his company and others have finally developed brakes with electrical controls. Some of them are being tested at a factory in Maryland.
You can see here the brake pipe for a mile and a half long, 150-car train.
The long black metal pipe has been coiled up into what looks like two giant tunnels. It's basically a train's brake system, minus the train. Simulations here and tests on a few real trains show that the new brakes are way better than traditional ones. They can cut a train's stopping distance in half.
This is a great opportunity.
Joseph Boardman is head of the Federal Railroad Administration, which oversees train safety.
Something that would have stopped in half a mile, you're now down to the length of a football field. How can anybody be opposed to that kind of improvement in technology and safety?
Boardman says the new brakes could save lives, but almost no trains have the new brakes. Railroad experts say that phasing in this new technology would be complicated and costly. The country has nearly 30,000 freight locomotives and over a million cars. Boardman says converting them all would cost over $6 billion.
It's really taken till now to really understand how that technology can be adapted in such a way that we not only make the safety case for it, but that we also make the business case for it.
A new economic analysis from the Federal Railroad Administration does just that. It shows that electronically controlled brakes could pay for themselves by letting trains run faster or closer together. That would reduce congestion.
So it's going to improve the capacity of the lines, the ability to have more trains out there doing what we need done.
The business case seems clear, but as the report notes, the safety benefits are harder to predict. Bill Castling from Wabtec believes the new technology will save lives, but he admits,
I don't know of any studies that have proven that.
Some people think that trains will be safer, but it's not likely to be a dramatic change. Tom Pontalillo is with a trade union called the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers and Trainmen.
It's not a silver bullet. It's an operational improvement, but it's not the only thing that needs to be done in order to enhance safety in the industry.
He's skeptical of some incentives that the federal government is considering to get railroads to switch to the new brakes. One is exempting trains with these brakes from costly inspections. Federal officials say the wired brakes will have sensors that can detect problems, so inspections aren't necessary. Pontalillo says that needs to be proved.
If we're going to discuss changing the frequency of inspections, I think any forgiveness on that is going to have to be earned rather than just assumed.
More data on how the new brakes work in the real world could come soon. Companies already are talking to the government about possibly installing the brakes on long, heavy coal trains that work the Powder River Basin in Wyoming and Montana. These trains haul over 300 million tons of coal a year. Nell Boyce, NPR News.